You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome to the William Hill Racing Podcast. It's Alex Dunn and Alistair Jones on the latest edition, looking ahead to Monday's racing. Action at Hereford, Plumpton and Wolverhampton to look forward to through the course of Monday. But we're going to focus on two contests at Hereford in just a few moments. Hereford, which incidentally is our high five meeting as well here at William Hill on Monday. As I mentioned, I'm Alex Dunn and this is Alistair Jones. Hi.
Hiya.
You alright?
Yeah, fine.
Good. We're going to start by talking about Saturday's action, of course.
Oh, are we?
At Cheltenham.
Okay.
Is that all right with you?
Yeah.
Sure?
Yeah, definitely.
You were in the studio yesterday as well.
I was.
For trials day at Cheltenham. Did you see anything that made you go, wow, straight off the bat? Was there anything that just made you go, you know, that will win at Cheltenham?
Oh, God, no.
See, I thought there were quite a few good performances.
Yeah.
But particularly with the ground as it was, I sort of thought that anything that excelled that day, you couldn't draw a line through for Cheltenham because you know that the horse is in good fettle. But it takes so much to win at a Cheltenham race nowadays, not at the festival, that it can really take it out of you for the rest of the season, unless you are genuinely top class.
Yeah, no, they had hard races in the Cotswold Chase.
Yeah.
For definite, because they went a fair pace. Trials Day rarely does what it says on the tin. You know, it's end of the day, it's a good meeting for decent horses, but its record for producing festival winners isn't, you know, mind blowing.
No,
by any means. And you know, I mean, Frodon was clearly the horse that made you think, "Golly, how's that one a competitive handicap chase?" You know, so convincingly by 17 lengths. But even so, I think that horse is probably waved goodbye to handicaps, and the balance of its form would suggest that it's going to come up short in graded company. So yesterday was probably his day in the sun. It could be wrong. Paul Nicholls is, you know, has a tremendous knack of keeping these horses ticking over and you know, on a steady upward curve. But he could be a nightmare to play, sort of thought, after that, winning a handicap by 17 lengths. He's bound to go up a stone, I'd have thought.
Well, Frodon with us now at William Hill is 10-1 to win at the festival full stop and 14s to win the Ryanair.
Well, if he don't win the Ryanair, what is he going to win? He's not going to win a handicap off his revised mark, I wouldn't have thought. Or he'd be definitely vulnerable to something with a bit more up its sleeve. So the Ryanair is the only feasible race.
14-1 if you do fancy it.
Well, I'll tell you what, if you're going to have a bet on Frodon, you're definitely backing for the Ryanair instead of 10-1, a lesser price about winning another race, because I don't see what other race he can win.
No, that's true, actually. It's Ryanair or bust, isn't it, really?
I think so. Yeah. I don't see, depending on, you know, they're at the mercy of the handicapper.
Yeah.
But what else is he going to run in? He's not going to run in...
well, as you said, handicaps are pretty much out the window now, so...
Yeah, you'd have thought.
Unless you do want to shoulder a mammoth weight, in which case you are going to be vulnerable to something.
Well, some of them, he'll have a mark where he won't even be eligible to qualify.
No, true. We're going to... We're going to. Myself and Ali are recording a separate piece as well about the Triumph Hurdle and the Gold Cup that you'll hear on William Hill Racing Radio's audio boom page in the coming days. So we're not going to touch on the Triumph and the Gold Cup too much right now. There was good racing at Doncaster as well yesterday, and one horse that impressed me massively was the Edmonds mare.
Yes. Maria's Benefit. I love this mare.
She was cracking. And I thought Irish Row ran really well in second as well.
Yeah, I love her.
But she's something else, isn't she?
Yeah, I napped her in the paper when she won at Sandown three starts ago, that handicap hurdle. I've never backed her. But I just then she went off at a right pace, and she just kept galloping and jumping, and exactly the same as she did yesterday. And I know she only beat a small field, but Irish Rose and Mare on the upgrade, and they finished a long way clear. Maria's Benefit's a gorgeous mare. I love her to bits. I love her attitude.
She looked beaten as well, didn't she?
Yeah, she's got her heart is in the right place.
Because even though she does the same thing every single time, you keep thinking, oh, she's going to get past now. Or, you know, something's looming. Mm. And continually she just bats them away.
Yeah, I don't know what the target will be at Cheltenham, even if she goes there. But it doesn't really matter now. She's already had a stellar season and she's clearly... you know, worth a lot of money from a broodmare perspective. So,
yeah, she almost doesn't need to.
No.
She owes nobody anything.
But they look after her, you know, because she's a lovable little thing.
She is. off the back of yesterday, Irish Row, 9-1 now for the Trull House and 10-1 for the Betfair Hurdle. But, of course, it's another one where it's sort of, where is she going to go next?
Absolutely.
Because
yeah,
you don't know, do you?
No.
But there were a few others. Satani, the other market move that I'm going to mention. Albert Bartlett, 12s now. Ballymore, 14s for Satani. Again, it's not really knowing exactly where Satani's going to go, but it was hard not to like the display.
Yeah, Nicky Henderson suggested it could be the Albert Bartlett. I said yesterday before the race that if it's a beauty contest, they wouldn't even put the flag up because this horse is seriously imposing. They just couldn't run it last year because they said it mentally and physically was just too backward. But they think an absolute world of it, even though bizarrely Nico de Boinville rode the other horse actually yesterday. And this horse was well back despite that, but he's just a proper horse. And I don't know if we're betting on the RSA for next year, but I'll tell you what, he's got the RSA chase written all over him.
Yeah. No, that's fair actually. But some interesting pointers anyway from Trials Day at Cheltenham.
Yeah.
And I thought the Doncaster card was, I wouldn't say equally fascinating, but certainly well above average and almost deserves more people talking about it than are.
Yeah, it's the it's their main jumps meeting of the season, their main jumps card, isn't it, with the Sky Bet chase. And
and of course that win for Wakanda, we've not even mentioned
races.
That.
Wakanda, yeah.
That was incredible, that finish, wasn't it?
It was indeed, yeah.
But again, it's probably taken so much out of the horse and probably the two or three around Wakanda that, you know, that they may struggle to bounce back immediately.
End of the day, it's a race worth winning. It's a high-profile race worth a lot of money. So, end of the day, you can't just focus everything on Cheltenham and Aintree.
Well, you're going to get a lot of disappointed people, aren't you?
You know, it's just too risky.
Yeah.
So, and the other thing is, a lot of these races that, you know, you do need to win races en route to even get in them because they're so competitive in terms of everybody wants runners at the big meetings. So, the handicaps are red hot. You know, you need to be up to a certain mark to even contemplate turning up at the big gigs.
As for Monday's racing at Hereford, unlikely that we're going to see anything that's turning up in what you just called big gigs anytime soon. That said, the two races that we are focusing on are decent in their own right and actually pretty decent for a Monday, aren't they? I think it's fair to say.
They are. It's a decent card at Hereford.
Yeah. We'll start with the 210, which is a beginner's chase over 2 miles. Ali's going to give us his nap and his next best on the card. In the 210, a beginner's chase, there are obvious candidates, and there's three of them, basically.
Yes, it's a three-horse war, effectively.
We'll start with Report to Base for Evan Williams and Leighton Aspel. Returns here off the back of a 28-day layoff, but last time, of course, was in that Exeter race, where Adam Wedge had a bit of a, what should we call it, a brain freeze, mind block. It can happen. The horse was set to be winning on that occasion. Looked like it was going to win pretty smoothly as well. Does compensation await here, and does Leighton Aspel know which fence he's meant to be jumping? More importantly,
hopefully. This horse is, he's actually rated £5. He's rated £5 superior over hurdles, but in his chase debut wasn't the best. But he, you know, was runner up to on unfavourable terms at Exeter, and then, as he said, he won very easily back there the last time over 2 mile and a furlong, only to be disqualified for bypassing one of the fences. Every chance of gaining compensation, you'd have thought on Monday. He's definitely one of the better. He's got a mark of 130 over fences, which sets a pretty good standard for a beginner's chase at Hereford. It's a different track to Exeter. Exeter's where this horse has sort of shown his improvement the last twice, but I don't see that being a problem. Ground's going to be pretty testing. Like I said, you know, even if you forget the disqualification last time a race that he, you know, he effectively won very easily.
Yeah.
You know, he made it before then. He made a very good horse work hard for his win. So that even that form sets a standard here, I think.
We've then got Muffins for Tea, who is another one on a little bit of a retrieval mission, having fallen last time out. That was early on at Chepstow. Prior to that, had been holding his form pretty well.
Yeah, gained his first success over hurdles in May. As you said, he was outclassed by a pair of very useful rivals on his chase debut at Exeter. Of course, Yanworth won that race, so he was never seriously expected to be competitive. And then he gave a good account of himself on that occasion, and then obviously fell early when fancied for a handicap next time. He was only, I think, 4-1 in the betting for that handicap at Chepstow, a mark of 1-2-2. That would suggest he's got, if we, you know, if we're talking weights and measures, then he's got £8 to find with report to base. But he's got potential. You know, he's not had a lot of racing. He's in good hands. Stables horses usually make better chases than hurdlers. But he will need to step up, I think, even on that, you know, on that first effort over fences.
And as for Sheer Rock, formerly with Charlie Longston, now with Kerry Lee, hasn't been seen on the racecourse for some time, but, well, you couldn't call the horse a winning machine. He certainly won his fair share of races, and if tuned up, and that is the big if, would probably play a big hand here.
He's the interesting horse, I think. I'm actually gonna tip the Evan Williams report to base. I think he's the solid option, but would not be remotely surprising to see Sheerrock play a hand here. Rated 1-2-5 over hurdles, but he's definitely got the potential to be better than that as a chaser, judged on that near miss behind, you know, Bally Bolly in a 2-mile-3 novice chase at Wetherby on his final run. I mean, the winner's rated 150 now, I think. So that arguably is the best piece of chase form on show here. The problem, of course, is that it was 474 days ago, and he's changed yards in the meantime. You know, you'd want to see market support for him, but Kerry Lee, like a dad, Richard Lee, is well capable of getting these horses fit at home. If this horse is strong in the market, then he'd make me very nervous about taking short odds on report to base. But as for the tip, you know, without that knowledge as to how strong Sheer Rock is going to be, then report to base has to rate as the most likely winner.
Okay. Anything else to mention?
No, not in that race. No. At all.
And don't be put off by the form figures of Royal Act finishing second last time out and thinking, hang on, that was in a two-runner race, wasn't it, against La Rochere. It did actually push.
Three-runner race, wasn't it? But even so.
Anyway.
It was grossly flattered, you'd have thought.
Very much
so. To finish where he did.
Well, yeah, it was a three-runner race. My bad, Ali. But anyway, still.
Yeah, don't... he's not... He, you know.
No. Okay, win. But report to base the selection for Ali.
Indeed.
In the 2-10. And as for the 3-10 at Herefords, this is the Western Cider Chase, and obviously limited handicap over 2 miles and 5 furlongs, 5 of them set to go to post. Probably give a squeak to all 5 here, to be honest.
Yeah, well, 4 stand out really as strong. I mean, Nanceroy is the obvious rag, if you like, but even, I mean, he's lost his form this season. He was well backed at Ludlow last time, but again ran moderately. But he was second in this last year off a higher mark, so we just had a horse at Sedgefield, funnily enough, Prairie Town, I think it was called, win this afternoon, who was second in the same race 12 months ago, had not shown his form since, and all of a sudden, for some reason, on the same day, pops up and goes one better. So Nanceroy you wouldn't be completely dismissive of, but yeah, it should involve the front four, and this is an interesting race. It really is.
Where should we start then?
Okay, you choose.
I want to start with Town Parks. I think Town Parks is really interesting.
Yeah.
Another one for Kerry Lee and Jamie Moore.
Yeah.
Was a winner last time at Uttoxeter, unseated prior to that at Bangor, but he's still really unexposed. Only had the 10 runs so far, and for a 7-year-old, I think there's a lot more to come from Town Parks in the future. Whether it's winning on Monday, I'm not so sure.
No, I agree. His jumping clicked last time at Uttoxeter. Hadn't been great in that department before, but he jumped a lot better. He won that well. He was strong through the line on heavy ground over this trip of 2.5 mile, near enough, the same trip. He's only gone up £3 for that. I think that was... he could have easily got... You see horses get raised for, you know...
Nothing.
For more than that, for similar sort of performances, and yet they're not even factoring in the potential this horse has got. He's definitely, you know, something clicked that day. I know the second was well beaten at Cheltenham at the weekend, but that was in the handicap won by Frodon. So that's excusable. I think he's got plenty in his favour, and if he jumps round, he'll take a lot of beating.
Because She Said So is probably going to be the favourite here, I would guess. We're recording this before we've got prices. Comfortably the oldest horse in the race. And things sort of clicked last time.
Yeah.
Now, a lot of the time with Venetias, people like to continue backing theirs once. But it's won once.
Yeah, they had one win at Utoxeter.
And
yesterday.
That was Yaltari. That was really game.
Yeah.
Venetia, she's not been in the same sparkling form that she has been in other seasons of late.
Probably not got the same ammunition that's
no.
been the problem this
season. And he's ticking over without being staggeringly good. But what do you make of the chances of this one? Charlie Deutsch doing the steering.
Depends how you treat that latest run. I mean, he went into Exeter last time. That was Chepstow, wasn't it?
Last time out was at Chepstow.
Chepstow, yeah. Went into that 0-10 over jumps after winning a bumper in 2015, but was back in trip off a lower mark and duly won by 14 lengths. Absolutely loved the heavy ground. The problem is he's going back up £12, and if remotely flattered by that performance, then he's going to struggle on the balance of its form.
Yeah.
A £12 rise is troublesome. But as we said, you know, the Venetia Williams horses, this time of year, once they start winning, you don't know how far they can go. So, and even though he's a 10-year-old, he's actually not had that much racing.
Mm.
So if last time was a sign of better things to come, then he could well cope with that figure. But for me, it's a concern.
Perfect Pirate is the next one that we'll mention. Was fairly well seen off last time at Sandown, to be honest. But prior to that, did win at Toaster. Another one that's certainly got a fair bit of improving to do and could be shoehorned as a bit of a Toaster specialist so far, has won both of his races there. Obviously, this is at Hereford, but has got a squeak.
Yeah, I think he's a danger. He's very lightly raced, and that form at Toaster when he won the 2.5-mile novice has worked out well because, what's the second called? Has won twice since. And on the back of that, he was sent off favourite for a Sandown handicap.
Last time, are you looking at Toaster here?
Hogan's Height, that was it. Yeah, won at Ludlow and has followed up again since then.
Yeah, at Weatherby.
At Weatherby, yeah. So that form looks all the better now. He was then sent off favourite for a Sandown handicap over the same trip of 2.5 mile. Forget that run, basically, because he ruined all his chance by jumping left early on and he carried on doing it. That's obviously a concern, going right-handed at Hereford, but the trainer, Ben Pauling, clearly doesn't envisage that being an issue, otherwise he wouldn't be going back to, you know, going again right-handed, and they have put the cheek pieces on this time. So in the hope that that will correct matters, you know, this horse could easily be well handicapped.
And the other one to mention is Silverhow, who's been, I'd say, a little bit disappointing this season.
He has, but it's early days over fences, fell first time out and last time smacked of a, you know, priority basically to get him around and get the confidence levels up. He won 2 handicap hurdles last season. Both of them were at top tracks, Sandown and Cheltenham, and the latest was off a £2 higher mark. So he's well handicapped, this horse. Too well handicapped to ignore, but you're right. He's yet to fully convince over fences, but trained by Colin Tizard, no surprise at all should he be competitive.
What's the selection?
Selection is going to be Town Park, so quite impressed me. He talks to last time, and I think he could well have got off lightly with just a £3 rise.
Town Park's then in the 3.10 and in the 2.10 report to base. What would be the nap? What would be the next best?
Oh, I think I'd go for Town Park's as the nap at those odds. I think it'd be a bigger price than the Williams horse in the beginner's chase.
Fair enough. Well, thank you very much, Ali. Good luck with your fancies on Monday, and the same to you, listeners. And thank you very much for tuning in to the William Hill Racing Podcast.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.